The dangerous drivers gather here today to talk about nothing more than backlash in France, where the Samoans and the Tongans ran loose. Thank you for joining us. This is the Dangerous Drivers Podcast.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?
I'm better than you.
My eyes are red from out in the back smoking a joint with Van Damme.
You know it.
All right, man. I am your boy, Stevie Jobber.
And it's your boy, Dangerous Duke.
And welcome back to the Dangerous Drivers Podcast, putting wrestling over one podcast at a time.
Yes, sir.
And we are here today to talk about how crazy, crazy Backlash was. We actually could have a short pod, but there's nothing really more to talk about than how great the action was and, well, how crazy the bloodline has ran all through Backlash, really.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, first match to get to, we got to talk the bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga, the leading storyline on SmackDown, going up against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, the RKO show, where they came out, they had what might have been a regular tag match, but they never got to it because they just started brawling. And that led Naldis to come out and be like, if you guys want to fight all over the place, let's fight all over France. And they made it a street fight, which was absolutely the right call. I'm actually very surprised I didn't see blood. Kudos to them for finding a way not to do that and still be wildly entertaining.
Yeah.
Duke, I'm going to hand it off to you. What were your favorite spots? And, you know, I guess we'll talk about, I'll leave it to you to talk about the twist ending.
Yeah, sure. So they had some great spots in that match, man. You know, right out the gate, fighting in the crowd, going up the steps and everything, all that good stuff. God bless Tama Tonga for taking every single one of those shots to his back. It looked like he went through a meat tenderizer by the end of it. You know, the table spots, great spots. Kevin Owens with the trash can was hilarious. They had a lot of intricate moments in this match. Tama Tonga was pretty much the guy taking the brunt of the punishment.
Yeah.
And I like that they're keeping his gear the same as New Japan. That's a beautiful thing to see because that gear is dope. And then, you know, that crazy little bit of a twist at the end with the new addition. Thought it was going to be Jacob Fatu. I'm pretty sure we all did. But to the chagrin of many, it was none other than Tongaloa. And I don't know if we have any, like, basketball fans here, but do you remember the clip of Kobe Bryant holding his daughter when the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
I do.
Oh, my God, we just won the Super Bowl. That was me when I seen Tongaloa. I was like, oh, my God, we got the Gorillas of Destiny.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Finish up.
So I was honestly surprised we got Tongaloa. I didn't even know his contract was up. But, you know, I'm not complaining. We got G.O.D. in WWE. So for me, it's a win.
Yeah, I think I saw a lot of platforms saying, like, I was not expecting Tongaloa. I certainly weren't. We were all kind of expecting Jacob Fatu. But it was funny because to go back to Tama taking a lot of the work and taking a lot of the brunt and the impact, I happened to be watching it with my mother-in-law, who doesn't watch a lot of wrestling anymore. And it was a very fun experience because I think even she kind of picked up that, like, are they initiating this guy? Like, Mrs. Jobber and her were like, he is really getting hit a lot this match.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, they're definitely initiating him. Breaking them in, as they say.
Yeah, because
he took a lot of impact from the kendos to the chair shots, the brain bruster through the chairs, the RKO. And he took just about all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I way to get Tama over the best way possible before introducing Tongaloa.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that was brilliant thinking because you get a lot of Tama Tonga for most of that match. Mm-hmm. And then just enough to know from that match who Tama Tonga is in the ring and what he can do before getting introduced to his brother, so that there's still kind of this respect and put over Tama Tonga before the Gorillas of Destiny are formed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree.
I think that leaves a lot of room for Tama Tonga kind of breaking the Carl Anderson trap that I think Carl's wrapped in right now.
Yes.
So I just thought it was brilliant thinking on the match too. Aside from how great the twist at the end is, and like you said, I don't think anybody called Tongaloa's contract being up, so it was a total surprise. But it does make the grand scope of things a lot more exciting.
Yeah, it absolutely.
That does. Means they had a trick card up their sleeve when we already knew about Jacob Fatu. And I do love Triple H's persistence to be like, to bring us as close to knowing it as possible and then throwing something else in there we didn't call.
Yeah, so, I mean, kudos to him for being able to still surprise us.
Absolutely, man. I mean, to this, it happens every week now, and I'm much more inviting and happy about it. You know, we didn't used to be as happy about these surprises.
Yes.
Moving on to something that actually wasn't as much of a surprise was Jade and Bianca Belair going up against Asuka and Kairi Sane, the Kabuki Warriors, for the Women's Tag Team Championships. This was much more predictable. And I don't know, you know, wait, should we wait for it? We're here now.
Yeah, that's okay.
I think I jumped the gun, but we're here now. And I think it might be better actually this way if we get this one out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start strong. This was kind of the low point of the pay-per-view for me, and it's all up from here. But needless to say, Jade and Bianca went out. They beat the Kabuki Warriors. There's a good and a bad in it for me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to give it to you for your thoughts. The good was what was supposed to happen, and they looked great doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The bad in this for me was that, yes, the job got done, but it didn't necessarily look as smooth as I would have liked for it to look. I think the chemistry between the four of them wasn't quite there. And I don't know if that's any, you know, that's no discredit to how talented all four of those women are, but it just felt off at times. So I just hope that's not perceived as how good she can be going forward for people that have never seen her before. But mm-hmm. for me personally, the chemistry just felt kind of off. But Duke, tell me what you were thinking. You could have had a totally different.
Well, I can see why you would say that. But the caveat I would put on that is we also have to remember, for as talented as she is and as great as she looks and as great as she can be in the ring, Jade only has, what, two matches under her belt in WWE in this system? Mm-hmm. Technically only, yeah, two, if we count the Rumble, the Royal Rumble and the WrestleMania match. So the team is still a work in progress. So we can't really hold it to the standard that we would hold everything else.
Mm.
Kind of just because, you know, she's the shiny new toy with the big name. So we strapped the rocket ship to her and shooting her to the moon. We still have to go through the growing pains of, you know, her gaining chemistry with other people. So I can't really complain too much about that. But I do agree there were certain points of the match where, you know, it looked a little off. This personally was my bathroom break match for the reasons you gave. We knew what was going to happen. We knew the result. We needed new tag champs anyway. Shiny new toy, shiny new team. Boom, there you go. So this was not a terrible match by any stretch, but it was just kind of lackluster because we knew what the result was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And because the chemistry was a little off, but it wasn't terrible. It was just it just fell a little short for me.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they hit all their spots and it wasn't as though there was a lot of botches. Some things were just a little mistimed and it could just be a little cleaner. And that's all I mean by chemistry. They didn't have, like you said, they didn't have a bad match by any stretch. It was just, you know, some parts could have been a little smoother.
Yeah.
But like you said, that's a work in progress. That's Cargo adjusting to the new roster and, you know, having more matches in a raucous crowd. You know, as time goes, I'm sure they'll revisit this match and it'll be much better.
Yeah. Now, I will give credit where credit's due, and then we can move on to the next topic. That ending sequence where she had Kairi Sane caught her and flipped her into the jaded move, that was awesome. That was badass. She gets a lot of credit for that. That was a beautiful sequence.
Yeah, they had a lot of impressive setups in there. They did the best they could with just putting in really good spots to showcase everybody.
Yes.
That was very impressive. Do we move from women to women? Because I think they finished on the two men's world championships, if I'm correct.
Yes, we can go women to women, yeah.
Okay. So triple threat match, Bayley, Naomi, Tiffany Stratton for the WWE Women's Championship. First impressions.
The first impression for me, not terrible. It was it was surprisingly good for me. Again, kind of the same thing. Tiffy time, getting used to the main roster. Uber athletic. I think she hit some spots pretty good. Naomi, you know, she's seasoned. Mm-hmm. We know what Naomi can do, especially with Bayley. And then Bayley, on the other hand, you know, that crowd was loving her. She did great in the match. And for me, it went how I thought it was going to go. The only kind of surprise was the ending of how it ended, I guess, in that like roll up sequence.
Yeah. They did a lot of roll up sequences, didn't they? They did try to make it as even as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think benefits Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
More than anyone else. I definitely see her as my favorite pick for Money in the Bank going forward. I think it's a ways away, but I think her starting at this level, she's kind of a shoe-in.
Yeah.
And I think the briefcase would be perfect for her. I think she could bring a lot of personality to it. I think the match just did a lot to elevate anyone's doubts of Tiffany Stratton. I don't think anyone had any doubts about Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bayley needed a solid win with convincing superstars. So,
yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's the match served its purpose in a very good way. Bayley got to get her win as the champion and look strong. Tiffy didn't really get diminished in any way because she wasn't the fall guy. And then Naomi, you know, she obviously was the fall guy in this match, but you know, at the end of the day, it all served a purpose. Everybody came out of this looking somewhat better.
Mm-hmm. So I think that was just a solid, did what it was supposed to do. I will say, watching it with my mother-in-law, she thought it was hilarious the way everyone's hair looked about 5 minutes into the match because of all the roll-ups. And I got a very good laugh out of that because they all kind of looked ridiculous at the end.
Yeah.
But fantastic match, I will say that. Moving on to the Uso. I want to bring up the little spot before the match as we opened up with the Bloodline. As we moved into the closing of the show, the co-main event, Jey Uso was backstage with his his very fly black and blue yeet suit. I do love the way his outfits have upgraded since WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this, I'm not quite sure what look they're going for yet. I'm not really sure what it is, but it's fly.
It is. I
tell you that. Yeet. But before he makes his way out, he crossed paths with Solo Sikoa and his bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know.
Yeah. Now you know.
He walks, they give each other the look, and he lets him slide. Walks past Big Brother. He locks eyes with the G.O.D. And then he locks eyes with Paul.
I will say Paul needs an Oscar just for his ability, so good, for his ability to act without speaking. Just his facial expressions alone. He had that look on his face where he was like, "Help me,
help
me,
me." It was so great, man. I love everything Paul is doing. How they have not won an award for Paul's acting yet is mm-hmm. beyond me, because he is doing some of the best. They are producing cinema, and they have been since Roman Reigns' return. So yeah. It is crazy that Paul Heyman, as one of the masterminds, has not gotten some sort of award for this yet, because he's doing superb level acting week in and week out. And the look he gave Jay, like you said, it said everything while saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just save me. Nothing about this is good. Nothing about this is authorized. These people are savages. You have to get me out of here.
And y'all wonder, man, y'all complained. Now that Jay's not the right hand man no more, Solo has it. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's nervous. This is a crazy time.
Yeah, yeah. And Jimmy was afraid of Jay becoming like a Roman. Yeah, y'all, there was something so much worse. So much worse hidden behind them.
You created this monster.
It's your fault, Jimmy. This is your fault, Jimmy. But we'll get to that another time. Jay goes out and has a banger of a match with Damian. I think they both had a lot to prove going into this. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I'm gonna set you up. I'm gonna toss you the details of the match so you can actually talk about the match. But I just want to say, given that part, that little segment before the entrance, and given the fact that they both come into this with a chip on their shoulder, Damian won via Money in the Bank. This is his first real title defense. Jay getting his first real one-on-one World Heavyweight Championship match on a grand stage. And it felt like proving time for both of them. Mm-hmm. And it is just unfortunate that it had to be Jay, because character-wise, I feel like Jay has earned this win a lot more than Damian has. And not to say Damian hasn't done a lot, but just to say Jay as a character,
yes,
you would think had arrived at an apex already where this would be nothing to him.
Now,
and they did kind of make it that way, but I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna toss it to you for the match. But just given all those things to build up.
Mm-hmm. Now, I agree with what you said, but I feel like they jumped it a little early. I wouldn't have given Jay this moment right now, just for that fact that he's earned the win. And I hate saying like somebody earns a title win, but He has earned, I think, an opportunity to be the champion and be that guy for a little bit. So I wouldn't have even put him here. I would have added like another match, give him somebody who's a US champion or an IC champion, whatever champion's on that show. But with that being said, like you said, the match was great. They had some good spots. Their chemistry, surprisingly, a little bit better than I thought it would have been. I do like the Judgment Day coming in, helping him out. Him not completely wanting the help. Trying to get the job done on his own. And then the ending of the match, how it ended with them trying to jump Jay and him telling them, like, no, we're not doing this. I told you guys I had this. Now, question for you. Did I not ask you, like, last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, is there no heel in this match? Given the end of, now given the end of how the match happened, with them trying to jump Jay and Damian saying no, is that not a face move?
That's totally a face move. I think you bring up an amazing point and a fantastic callback. Because going into it, I was saying Damian has to be the bad guy. I mean, he's been bullying around his own team. He's a reckless leader with a point to prove. But it seems now that viewpoint has almost changed completely, almost. Well, not completely. He is still kind of bullying them. But I think it's less bullying now and more just out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
I can see as the character is that he's just a little more upset that people doesn't think he can lead and won't listen to him. Mm-hmm. Rather than being upset that everyone is saying he isn't the leader, he's just more upset that people don't respect him enough to be one. And I do think that made it more of a face versus face match. I think it does paint him more as just a cocky guy that can back it up rather than this reckless heel leader that will do anything to win.
Like more of the anti-hero, not so much the villain, not the hero.
It definitely paints him in more of an anti-hero role. Because he still should not be treating Finn Balor like that. But
anywho,
still, it did show that he wasn't about beating people down anymore. He just wanted to beat you, and if he could beat you on his own merit and just prove that he was he just wants you to, in a weird way, acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. He just wants to stand on his own and be like, I am good enough to be where I'm at.
Yeah. It's more of a proving point right now.
It's more of a proving point. And I think it's odd how he ended up in this kind of character arc when it's been seen before. And it's kind of funny that I feel like if this was the approach Austin Theory had maybe taken, that his character would have worked out better, because he's kind of in the spot Damian was in as a character issue, which was the company knows you're the guy,
mm-hmm.
and you have all the potential in the world to be that. But as a character, you haven't reached a point where we can accept that you can be that.
And I would say Damian has that edge because simply for his age, and not to say he's old, but Damian's been doing this long enough that he knows how to kind of evolve little things to get him to that point to where Theory still has to kind of learn that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of why it's more suited for Damian to take this ball, because he knows how to like evolve and like do little small changes and tweaks just to make it work.
Yeah. There's always that saying of, you don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
And those things only come with experience. And I think that's a great point. Damian having so much more experience, not that he's so much older, but because he spent more time in the game and learned more things, he knows how to adjust just enough to make it work. And now that he's at this arc where you've done all the work, we believe in you $1 million, but now you have to become good enough in their eyes
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to make all the right adjustments, starting with, I can't make it seem like I can't do it on my own.
Yep. And if that's the angle that they go with, I would, if that's how they do it, I don't know about you. I take experience over youth 10 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll, what is that saying about all, what is that? All ships raise tides. What is that saying?
All ships rise with the tides. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that is the same. But to say that Damian becoming better and becoming more believable and respected will raise everyone else in the Judgment Day while Rhea is away. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Dom is still going to be in those planes. At this point, I'm still on the fence about whether he's going to stay in the Judgment Day. But I think for someone like a JD McDonagh becoming more legitimate and just being on an arc of pulling your weight would raise the level of the underlings of Judgment Day, so to speak, to a very much more respected level. And I think they need that too. Agreed. More respect needs to be on Finn's name. More respect should be on JD's name. And it kind of hasn't yet because he's had to come in the stooge role because of how big all the other characters were.
Yeah.
But I think if they approach it this way, there could be a lot more respect on JD's name.
Yeah, I agree. You can improve him.
That being said, the last thing to talk about is the biggest thing to talk about. The Super Bullet Club match. Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles for the Undisputed WWE Championship. They are still saying Undisputed. I'm missing something.
Yeah, did you not get a phone call?
I did get a phone call.
Yeah.
Do
we discuss it?
Let's talk about where I got the phone call from. Cause Duke, you spotted it before me.
Yeah.
And then sent me the number to call. So at one point they show us the promo package for the last match, the main event, Cody versus AJ.
Yes.
And somewhere between them showing us the promo package, there's a barcode that pops up with the Bray Wyatt icon at the bottom that Duke, our brilliant guy in the chair, has researched and found that it leads to a number that he has sent me, and I played actually before we hopped on or before we started recording. And it's an eerie, very, you're going to die in 7 days, but more like the six of us are coming for you.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, did you want to play it for the people?
Do we want to play it for the people?
Do you think we can pull it off?
Live on the DJP? Hopefully it will.
Because I could hear it through my end. So, I mean, if I could hear it, I know they can.
Okay, I am going to double check my audio settings to make sure I can play this for the people.
Yeah, because they might as well be just as informed as we are.
Okay. I'm going to play you guys the brilliant message that I received.
And this is how we improvise, folks. We improvise live and in color.
Live and in color.
Family now, and we will do anything to protect our family. I can't wait for you to see what they've become. It's beautiful.
And I know.
Talk about chills.
Yo, that was great work.
Yeah.
I mean, this has got to be, I can only think of those shackled as the six, which mm-hmm. some may or may not have also deciphered from our brilliant researcher. Do you want to give them the names? Do we talk about this now before the main event?
We can. We absolutely can. So, upon research, people have been trying to figure out, since the first one ever dropped, what these Wyatt Six people may be, the family now that I guess is going to be seen eventually. And in the first QR code, the link was UEDNJ51A. Now, all these letters equal to a name. The first letter of a name, rather. U, Uncle Howdy. E, Eric Rowan. D, Dexter Loomis. N, Nikki Cross. J, Joe Gacy. Then the 51, 5 plus 1 equals the 6. And then the A, Alexa Bliss.
Mm.
That may be this Wyatt Six family. And every one of these names at one point or another has linked up with Bray Wyatt, aside from Joe Gacy.
And Joe Gacy was honestly my number one pick to join. I wasn't sure if Dexter Loomis was still signed to them, so I was surprised to see that. But I also knew that Dexter Loomis would be a shoo-in to join the Wyatts, and kind of never understood why they didn't pull that trigger. So I'm excited Nikki Cross gets to join. Mm-hmm. I'm excited that Dexter Loomis gets to join. I'm excited Joe Gacy gets to join. I am surprised Braun Strowman is not in there, but who's to say he won't be involved at some point?
Yeah.
But that sounds like a great group. I feel like Alexa and Nikki, because of all the things they've already done, just a wonderful pairing, especially since Nikki Cross has gone crazy again.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's kind of off TV, but is always a perfect fit with Alexa Bliss. They always have great chemistry. They're already tag team veterans. Joe Gacy with somebody like Dexter Loomis, I feel like, is a master pairing for a tag team. That leaving, who's that leave? Uncle Howdy and
Rowan.
And Eric Rowan. To be like the two Bray Wyatt disciples, you know, like the direct, yeah, two like direct disciples of Bray Wyatt, his brother and literally a brother of the Wyatt family.
Now, I will say this. You have your female tag team veterans, because you kind of just booked how, I think unintentionally, how the Wyatt Six conquer all the gold.
Yeah, kind of.
The two women get the tag titles. Joe Gacy and Dexter get the tag titles. And then that left you with two, Rowan and Howdy. Rowan, I don't see Rowan getting a world title opportunity, but Rowan beating someone the likes of Sami Zayn.
I can see that.
Possibly. And then that just leaves you with Uncle Howdy. And if we both leave just enough, in some way, we could potentially see an Uncle Howdy world champion.
Yeah, I think I'll say this, and then we'll go to the main thing. I'll put this little twist on the end, because I threw this into a group chat as a suggestion. I would hope that they would give Uncle Howdy as a fiend type character and let Bo kind of take on what Bray's arc was before he left us, which kind of was himself split into these alternate characters to give us Bo, if he would be called Bo still, but to give us Bo as himself and then have Uncle Howdy be his split fiend personality to be accompanied by the Wyatt Six, I think would be an amazing leadoff, because it would give you a way to have genuine promos led by Bo, because he's great on the mic. And it would, I don't know, I feel like if, because everyone loved how Bo was in the doc, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you bring that Bo out to the people, I feel like it'll be received easily. And then when you break off into these fragmented stories, it'll be almost like he's narrating a new Wyatt, you know.
Story.
A new Wyatt story. But this time he's the puppeteer. Mm-hmm. I'm fantasy booking, forgive me, but I feel like that would be a great twist on the Wyatt Six for this coming.
Absolutely.
That being said, we'll get off of our Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, Wyatt Six bag to talk about the main event, because we do have to get to Cody and AJ. Like I said, the Bullet Club versus Bullet Club match. And they did not too sweet at the end, which I was disappointed about. They didn't too sweet at the press conference, which was expected. But I did expect at some point for them to piece it up. But he hasn't even pieced it up with the OC, so maybe I'm jumping the gun. But I will say this. There is a lot more OG Bullet Club in the WWE than outside of it. At some point, we have to address this.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we have to address this. There is a lot of OG Bullet Club in the WWE, and a lot more of them than who's outside of it. So,
and a vast majority of them
spread throughout, you know.
Vast majority on SmackDown. We have what, 3 or 4 on SmackDown right now?
The OC are on SmackDown. Tama Tonga, Tyler Lowe, the GOD. They're on SmackDown.
Oh, we got like 6. We got like 6 on SmackDown.
Ben's on Raw. But AJ's also on SmackDown. Cody's on SmackDown. I mean, there's a lot of Bullet Club floating around, yeah, man.
6 on SmackDown, 1 on Raw, because Finn's the only one on Raw.
Should they ever want to flip things on their head, the OC is right there. They already have the name of it. You know what I mean? You just got to reunite some people. If they ever need an easy out for the Bullet, if they ever have a War Games where the Bullet Club have to descend, so to speak. You know, I mean, the bloodline have to descend, so to speak. Like, only one bloodline could win. This could be a possible. All right, we're doing a lot of fantasy booking. Let's get
back
to
the match.
Let's get back to the match. You're having too much fun right now. All right. Let's get back to the match. Cody versus AJ. Let's talk about how great of a match that it was.
Dude, it was awesome. And I think that's why we're so excited, because now we can just talk about a bunch of stuff. But it was an awesome match. It genuinely was. Like, they had so, like, it started slow, like we expected. You know, they're going to feel each other out. And then they get right down to the nitty gritty, trying to hit each other with the finishers, doing all the crazy stuff. I'll tell you one thing, though. That super Cody cutter was legit. Off the top rope instead of the middle rope, that was legit.
Yeah. I mean, they hit a lot of great spots. Especially that second Cody cutter. They hit it. That was just a great way to hit it. They found a way around it. And I've been kind of worried about it myself. But I mean, they went in there and they did what they're supposed to do, man. I mean, AJ is going to do it every time. He's going to come in there and he's going to meet you at whatever level you're at. And he's going to elevate you just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think AJ did a lot for showcasing Cody, but he also did a lot for showing why he's as good as he is.
Still at this age,
he's in the best shape of his life somehow. Doesn't make any sense. He's hit like a Rey Mysterio renaissance. And it is a shame that even he's still thinking about leaving. Someone brought this point up to me that this might be one of the last times we see AJ Styles in a main event for a world championship. And it doesn't feel like it should be by any means, but it is hard to think about where AJ goes after this loss. Like, what could be next? Does he go back to the OC? Like, where is AJ's story? Is he going to show up this Friday? Is that a good idea to run right into an AJ thing, or should he just disappear for a little bit? Like, what happens now?
Yeah, it does paint a big question mark on AJ, and that's probably the only bad thing about this result.
Mm-hmm. So,
I tell you what, I could see them pushing this another ways, like just having another match. I could see it definitely happening. And then AJ going to something else, because I think that's what you need to do.
Mm.
They did so good with this match. I feel like run it back a second time, try to push the feud a little bit until you can figure out what's next for this guy. And then you do it that way. I would be more than fine with that.
Okay. We're at, I'm reading where we're at, and I'm going to try to keep my next thing, because we've been doing it too much. I'm going to try and keep my next thing to 30 seconds. I would say that they could do this at least two more times.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. There's still a little more to get out of this story, even though Cody beat him clean. I would say go at it one more time legitimately. Keep this same story, just with a bitter AJ Styles. He hadn't, because we're at a place where we don't know what's next for him. He should feel like he's at a place where nothing's next for him. So I would double back. I would spin the block. I'm not done.
Absolutely.
You know, I would come back Friday, and during your speech where you're waiting for whoever, I'm going to come out and beat you again. I'm going to beat you up. And I know we tried to be respectable the first time, but I got nowhere else to go. I need this win. And I think they can carry that into the next pay-per-view that Cody's going to be on. Because I'm not sure what they're doing with King and Queen of the Ring. But have AJ and Cody go at it one more time. Actually, if you're doing Saudi next and you're having Cody there, that actually wouldn't be, that would probably be the easiest match to book, I would assume, because we know Cody's going to beat him again. And no one really even has to see it. We just know it's going to be a great match if you do see it. So the people that are going to be like, F it for the match, there you go. And the people that don't feel like watching it are going to know the results, so they don't feel forced to watch. It's actually a great booking decision. Anyway, to wrap up, I would say do that. Have him beat him the second time and then have AJ disappear. And then maybe do an angle after that where AJ crosses the OC again and Carl tells him the truth. Said, you know, AJ, when you were saying all those things you did by yourself, you weren't by yourself. When you beat this guy, when you beat that guy, when you beat John Cena, we were there. You did it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Have AJ leave TV for a few weeks and then build to SummerSlam for one more match with AJ in the OC. Because now it's full on Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's AJ with the Bullet Club in my peak. It's this new buff AJ with all the extra tools, outnumbering Cody. So he's an underdog again, going up against this new bad AJ that will do anything to win. Books itself. But I'm leaving that where it is. I just wanted to throw that in as maybe a good way to keep them going for a few months, because it's got to be hard to keep building people up for Cody to be down, you know?
Yeah.
But speaking of that, Duke, I'm going to give it to you. Where do you think Cody should go from here? And then we'll take it on.
Cody needs to go right back to AJ and continue this story.
Yeah.
Because this story right here is going to be a good one. And this is a story I want to read.
Hmm.
Short, simple, to the point.
Thank you, because I was going on.
No, you're good. But, ladies and gentlemen, That is the Backlash from France review. Drop in the comments. Let us know what you guys thought of Backlash. If you thought it was good, if you thought it was bad, if you thought it was ugly. We would like to discuss it with you because we want to know what your thoughts were. But that's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you guys stay up. Make sure you guys stay blessed. But as always, stay dangerous.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world.
Why, Eddie, why?